And now it's time for part three of the exciting... Seriously, I think we need to go with a different word here. No, I understand that. I just think that we... I'm not saying it's bad. It's more... It's inaccurate. Well, that's just fine, Steve. I thought I was part of this team, but I guess I'll just, quote, stay in my lane, unquote. Real original phrasing, by the way. Did you learn that at Harvard, Steve? Fine, I'll just read whatever crap you want to feed me. Here we go. Here we go again. All right. And now it's time for part three of the exciting conclusion of the remembering. Was that okay, Steve?
So, just a few weeks after we met, we had to go on the run, way underground, totally off the grid, and eventually we found ourselves deep in the forests of upstate New York, on a dark, rainy night. Do you think we've lost them?
Why are you whispering?
Because they could be out there, waiting for us, planning their attack.
Let them try it. I'm a super soldier after all. I have the strength of 10 men. Or 6 women.
So, when you said you suspected she was a super soldier, you meant...
In much the same way I suspect you are a pair of googly eyes affixed to a pile of sour cream that's been rolled around a barbershop. Additionally, science, Zeke, suggests there is no such thing as absolute knowledge. And, in a court of law, this would all be hearsay. Now, as I was saying...
Can see in infrared and ultraviolet simultaneously, I'm only beginning to understand the full range of my powers. And you, my love, are a vampire. Those four are no match for us. We've escaped them before. We'll escape them again.
Escaped who? What is Mom talking about? Who had you escaped?
I have no idea who they were. We'd had this run-ins with them in Poughkeepsie.
Hey! We have you surrounded.
Uh-oh. It looks like Mama's got a squeeze box.
And Daddy never sleeps on sight.
That is not the lyric.
No, you see, from the squeeze box. It's so loud, he can't sleep even when he just sees it. So, on sight, it come a Pavlovian response, you see.
No.
Schenectady.
All right, you two. You can't beat up a tank. You won't love what happens if you don't come along.
You don't tell me what I love, honey. I tell me what I love, and I love the nightlife.
She gets the Wookiee and the disco clowns.
What?
Yeah, the whole song is about Princess Leia and the Empire.
What?
Metaphorically.
No.
The disco clowns are the stormtroopers.
So, we established that they would come near you with weapons, and you would talk about song lyrics incorrectly in their presence. I bet it would sound like a real good idea to have fought them while doing that banter back and forth, and then upon execution, it probably wouldn't sound very good. So, good call on not doing that. Anyway, who were these people?
An elite squad, one presumes. If there was an elite squad, they would see these guys and say, like, yeah, sure. Like, those guys are pretty good, too.
So a much better than average squad?
Statistically speaking, a squad within 2 standard deviations on their right side of the bell curve.
So at minimum, a really solid, solid squad.
Behind the sounds of the rain and the frogs and the...
That's it? Just rain and frogs. No other sounds at all. Just those 2 sounds? Is that right, Steve? No hooting? Not a single hoot. Fine. Okay, nor a whistle. No whistling. I guess that nothing in upstate New York hoots and whistles anymore. Fine. Fine. A very simple soundscape, as it were. And, you know, and really, in October in upstate New York, the frogs would be hibernating by then. Oh. Oh, wait. Are those gibbons now? Now it's gibbons, Steve. But in upstate New York, gibbons. In October. Do some goddamn research, Steve.
there came a slight rumbling sound just at the outside of consciousness. The sort of sound you're aware of, but don't actually hear. A vague pitch of noise at the back of your brain. The primal, unrecognized sound of a predator as heard by its unsuspecting prey.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to scratch my brain. It feels itchy.
You damn fool. Stand back to back with me like we practiced. I take the big one first. You hold off the rest until I'm done with him.
We stood there, shivering, dripping wet, peering through the darkness, a shimmering sea of drenched leaves. The seconds stretched to infinity, the darkness to the horizon. And still we stood. I could feel Betty's tensed muscles at my back. I'd seen her jump 30-foot gaps the way you'd hop a curb, punch holes in cinder block walls like they were made of papier-mâché. But we'd only narrowly escaped before, and out here, we were exposed, tired.
Mint Pistachio.
What had been a vague rustling, a disquieting movement of sticks and twigs against the backdrop of thunder, became thunderous in its own right. The trees parted, 20-foot-high oaks and maples bent over like genuflecting seraphs. The forces at work, can you imagine? Twisting those forest sentinels like so many blades of grass. The sound was maddening. The explosions of popping limbs, the tree trunks rent at right angles. It took all my strength to hold my ground. Betty never flinched. I couldn't abandon her. I wouldn't. I did the only thing a sane man can do in the face of insane forces when staring down terror.
Mint Pistachio!
And then, in that now moonlit clearing, a massive figure strode forward. She was magnificent, 10 feet tall and half as wide at the shoulder, blocking up the sky. Betty and I could do nothing but gasp.
I agree.
We could not understand what she was saying. But she motioned for us to follow. I didn't know what to do.
I don't know what to do.
I as well do not know what to do.
I think she's asking us to follow her. Let's go.
You can't be serious. We don't have any...
You damn fool! Can't you see she's no threat to us? If she wanted us dead, we'd already be dead.
What about maimed? I mean, what if she wanted us maimed?
It's our best option.
And so we followed her. She took us to her cave. We arrived and she motioned for us to sit. Sat down between the two of us and ran her massive furry hands over our smooth skin.
Oh, nice smut, Steve.
I'm trying real hard not to be judgy, but here it goes. Ew, a threesome with a squatch.
Let me give you a bit of fatherly advice, Zeke. Anytime two women are open to a threesome, you do it. Even if one of them is a Bigfoot.
Wait, did you just admit that you're my father?
I've acclimated to the idea.
Well, that was fast.
What? It's taken me weeks to get to this point.
But it seems like it's only been a few minutes.
The next day. So, thanks for the hospitality sandwich. It was a sandwich, right? The Sasquatchmitch?
Her name is Sam Squanch.
The Sam Squanch, legendary queen of the big feats.
Yes, Zeke, the legends are true. Sam Squanch. Duchess of the 19 Hills. Empress of the Northern Tribes. Queen Regent of the Sun Clans. And at that moment, it was like the sky exploded. I was thrown against the wall of the cave. All I could see was a haze of bodies through the dust. Flashes of fists and feet. The sounds of meaty thwacks mixed with hateful, angry jazz. And the sound of Betty screaming one word over and over.
Go! Go! Go!
And at that moment, Queen Samsquanch lifted me, tucked me under her arm, and broke into a dead sprint toward the back of the cave. A hidden secondary entrance. She ran and ran and ran. I was bleeding heavily and passed out. When I came to, I was alone in a quiet meadow. I've never seen your mother or your mother since.
Wow, I'm Bigfoot royalty.
Updating Bigfoot's Wikipedia page accordingly.
Thank you for listening to this mini-episode, the conclusion of The Remembering. Squatch Mashers will be returning for Season 2 in early September. We'll have a couple more mini-episodes before then. This episode was written by Steve. Poorly, in this man's opinion. Epilogue.
So now we know where my mix of vampire, squatch, and modified human DNA comes from, but that doesn't explain the 1% pony.
Let me give you another bit of fatherly advice, Zeke. Anytime two women are open to a threesome, you do it. Even if one of them is a Bigfoot, who has a creepy pony that's sort of hanging around in the firelight.
This mini-episode of Squatch Smashers was written by Matt McDonald and Darren Essler and George Pete Galliotis. Not Steve. Zeke Delfer was played by Darren Essler. Vlad was played by George Pete Galliotis. Jenny, model 8675309, was played by Mary Ellen Clark. Betty was played by Don Davis. You can visit Don's voiceover website at www.dondavisvoiceover.com. The link will be on our website. Contact info is also available on our website, squatchsmashers.com. We are members of the IABD network. Please go to www.iabdpresents.com to see the lineup of written works, YouTube shows, and podcasts available from the talented people there. Now everyone go have a beverage and remember to tell everyone you know about the podcast, if you dare. In fact, I'm going to double dog dare you right now, so you have to do it. Them's the rules. Thanks for listening.